Bibles with you, and I pray that you do. Open your Bibles to Psalms 57. Psalms 57. In this text, David is fleeing from Saul. Saul was after David, and David's following the will of God, and he's fleeing from Saul. But I want to focus your attention on verse number 3 this morning. And it says, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah, or pause a minute and think on this. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul was among lions, and I lie even among them that are on fire, set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is words are very sharp also. Words spoken can cut. So with that in mind, open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 12 for our message this morning. Beginning to read in verse number 15. The Word of God says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." You know, Solomon said, "In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth his shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment." This morning I wanted to speak to you. The title of this morning's message is The Sword of Words. The Sword of Words. And we're going to look at wise words, truthful words, and established words. Wise words, truthful words, and established words. So can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me. Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen." Father, we're so grateful for your word, and Lord, we're grateful that you sent this word to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that is gathered here today. Now, Father, I pray as even Isaiah prayed of old. Take those tongs and go to the altar and get those coals and place them upon my lips, because I'm a man of unclean lips, Father God. May my lips be purified, and may the words that proceed out of my mouth come from you and not from me. And then when all is said and all is done, This body will be edified, exhorted, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And you will receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, first thing I was looking at is, as we're looking at health, how many want to be healthy? Amen. What we speak determines our health. You know, he says, if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask God, because he gives it to us liberally and he doesn't hold it back. And his wisdom is far greater than man's wisdom, okay? So first we're going to look at some wise words. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 23. The Word of God says this, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. You know, when we looked at Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God says, for the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, he stands to us. We're talking about health. Wise words are health, and they bring health to our life and health to our body. So in other words, look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 to what Solomon says. You know, one of the greatest things about Solomon, God said, I would give you anything you wanted. He would give Solomon anything he wanted. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And that was the greatest thing that he could have. Because of the wisdom, he could have everything that God had. Yeah. Everything that God had. He had the wisdom to step into what God had already provided to him and for him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 11, the Word of God says this. He says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Amen? In other words, God's given us instruction in his word. What we're looking at is looking for, how many wants to be healthy? How many wants joy? How many wants peace? How many wants all the fruit of the Spirit active in their lives? See, it's determined by what comes out of our mouth, by the words we're speaking. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. The prophet Isaiah says this, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. You know, that's why he tells you and I to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Solomon said that a wise word, and he says, and lips that speak truth. So many times, the things that are coming out of our mouth are error. Sometimes the things we're hearing from people are not necessarily truth. Even though you feel like they should be speaking the truth, not everything they're saying is truth. Not everyone that's preaching the word is preaching the truth. There's a lot that are preaching error. And that's between them and God, and I'm not here to judge anyone. I got enough problem working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. But look with me in Zechariah chapter 8. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 8. And listen to what the prophet Zechariah said. Verse 16. He said, there are the things that you should do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against your neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. In other words, if it's the truth that shall make you and I free, we are supposed to speak the truth, but we're not only speaking the truth. He says there's no judgment here. He says that we need to speak the truth in love. Because love will cover a multitude of sins. And if it isn't spoken in love, it's not going to be received. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 14. The Apostle Paul says this. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. In other words, when wisdom brings health to us, and that wisdom comes from the truth, and God wants us to understand the truth, and when we're ministering the truth, it has to be in love. Amen? That's what makes the church different from the world. There's a lot of people that are out there that want to correct you, but unless it's done in love, it's not received. Amen? I don't know about most of you, but most of us have a spirit of rebellion. Hello? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Or is that just me, or is there anybody else in the house that's like that? Hello? Here, I want you to get a hold of something. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment. When Paul is teaching about putting on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he says in verse 13, he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now your loins is here, okay? And there's truth here. And it's kind of, when I was asking the Lord, he said, well, Lord, that's kind of weird. Why is the truth here? And the Lord said, look at the armor. And I looked at the armor, and the breastplate comes down, and the loins and the shoes come up, and the girdle is what holds it together. The girdle is what holds the armor together. So it's the truth of God's word that holds it all together. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free. So that's why your loins are girded about by the truth, because it's holding on to the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and they had boots that came up. So this girdle was just not shoes, but they were boots, and it came up, and that girdle held the armor in place. In other words, could you imagine trying to fight and your armor flopping back and forth? Hallelujah. You with me? Amen? See, it's so much about the truth. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. And listen to what the Apostle Peter says here in verse 13. Now he's talking about, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? See, God, through his word, has already established everything. In other words, it's the established words. So what I'm going to go to now is go with me to Psalms chapter 40. I remember as a salesman, when I was in marketing and sales, I would introduce and I would give the speak the thing, but I was always wanting to close. I always want to jump ahead to the close, because the close is the best part, okay? And but I'm not allowed to jump forth to the close, because he wants to establish something in our hearts, because God wants to do something in every heart and every life of everyone in the room. Amen. You didn't come out in the snow. You were faithful and came out. But you came out in the snow today because God had a plan for you. God, by his Spirit, drew you here today. Amen. Because in the natural, you look out and say, well, it ain't looking too good today. But the Spirit says, man, I feel like I got to go. Well, it doesn't look too good out there, but I feel like I got to go. Well, it doesn't look too good, but I feel like I got to go. That's more than a feeling. That's an unction of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist says in Psalms 40, listen to what he says. He says in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. The steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord. He finds delight in his way. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Listen to me what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse number 14. The word of God says this. He says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Listen to this. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. If Jesus said, God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up you shall condemn. I condemn the words. There's no weapon formed against me that will prosper. Amen. Amen. He never said that weapons wouldn't be formed. But he did say they would not prosper. The only way they prosper if as I let them get inside of me and get a hold inside of my heart, because out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth is speaking. In other words, that's why I have to wait patiently on the Lord. That's why I can't respond. Because if I respond, I'm responding with my head and not with my heart. And I don't know about you, I want to keep my head in the red. I want to keep my head covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. In other words, to do that, I have to be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know? Hello? Sometimes it's better for us not to respond. Sometimes it's better for us to say nothing than to say something that's not worthy to say. Amen. God wants us to understand something. Just as we have power to speak blessings, we have power to speak cursings. You have to recognize who you are. You're a child of God. Hello? And all of a sudden we start speaking things out of anger or disgust, and we speak death unto people. Be slow. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. He gives us instructions, the Apostle Paul. He says in verse number 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For us, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and all power. Amen? In other words, we have to recognize and realize who we are. You know, so in closing, boy, the pastor, that was quick. Yep. I said what the Lord told me to say. In closing today, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Word of God says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto you were called, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle." He says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You know, he says that we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So in closing, he says, hey, we're to have wise words. Our words are to be truthful words. And to recognize that our words have been established by the Word of God. You know, that's the word that we're out here speaking. The devil doesn't understand my words. He doesn't have to bow to my words, but he has to bow to every word that God spoke. God wants you and I to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And that you can overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, by the words that come out of our mouth. The question God's asking us today, he's asking us, are your words wise? Are your words truthful? Have your words been established by me? Are you saying what the Lord says to say? Are you saying what you feel like saying? You know, so many people said, you know, wondered, they said, you can't be led by something you're not filled with. Listen to me. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're led by whatever you're filled with. Whatever you're filled with is what's in control. See, if out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water, it has to flow from the well from inside that's full. You know, the Lord was showing me something. In closing today, we're gonna pray for people this morning. The Lord showed me something this morning. Turn me to Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus 15, God has just delivered Israel out of Egypt, and he delivered them through the Red Sea. And God delivered people in the room. Listen to me. But after 3 days' journey, they were thirsty. And there was no water. And Jesus gave them instruction. It was called Marah. The water was bitter. And Jesus gave them instructions to cut the tree that went in the water that made the water sweet so they could drink. The tree that takes our bitter and makes it sweet was the cross of Calvary. God provided everything. And if you look on in Exodus 15 after that account, they ended up with palm trees and 12 wells which spoke of abundance and the blessing of the Lord. But in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, he says this word. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And what the Lord was saying to me this morning is no matter what bitterness the adversary has brought, if he's brought bitterness in your spirit, if he's brought bitterness in your health, if he's brought bitterness in your well-being, it was all paid for at the cross of Calvary. God wants to turn that bitterness around and make it sweet. Amen? But to receive what the Lord has for you today, he says for you to come and gather around the altars, and you he will meet. Amen?